So those of you that have found this session, welcome. We're going to do a couple of things today, so let's go ahead and step into that. And connect into there. There we are. All right, so let's kind of roll through what we're going to cover. I like to do this because there's a lot of sessions going on concurrently. I like to kind of give you guys a heads up of what we're going to talk about. If it isn't something you're interested, I'm not going to be offended if you walk out, okay? But I'd rather you know now than get halfway through the session and go, why was I here, okay, when there was something cooler going on. So what we're going to talk about is how the Dynamics team, specifically the CRM aspect of the team, sees the world. This is more of an intro with some sneak peeks at features that are coming with a fat platform focus. So what we invest in from a platform, how we use the CRM platform, how we see the world and how we fit into it, and the problem set that we have set ourselves about to solve, and how we've set about to solve it. At the end of this, you're going to get to see some previews of some upcoming features, so if you do stick it out all the way to the end, there's some stuff that's coming out as part of the fall release that will be entering preview here relatively shortly, so if you're in the preview program, you'll get to see it too. And some of the features I'm going to show you in some of the demos are actual live features. I will not be opening Visual Studio in this session. Usually I like to show developer productivity stuff when we talk about this, but I don't need to for some of the things that we're going to do here. We're going to use in-app tools and tools that are available on the web to do this. Okay? So let's walk into it. So you've often heard various folks at the company talk about something called the intelligent cloud. This is sort of a mantra for the way we've evolved as an organization, and really as a company. We used to think about ourselves as very much an on-premise, front office, infrastructure type solution. That was the way we thought about the world in CRM 3, CRM 4, CRM 5. We started changing that. And then when we went to CRM 6, CRM 2013 is the marketing name for that, things really changed. We really made that choice to change directions, put more energy and effort into the cloud platform. What does this really mean to us? It means that the Dynamics CRM team, the Dynamics group itself, didn't need to focus on reporting. The reason we didn't need to focus on reporting is we have an entire division that does nothing but reporting. It's out of the SQL team and now part of the Azure team, the Power BI efforts that you guys see today. Why should we try to replicate those when we can rely on those? As far as other aspects of the world, things that are focused around SQL Server, by being more of a, if you will, a cloud-based providing or a cloud-based system, it allows us to take advantage of a lot of the newer feature sets and new capabilities of SQL Server more quickly than we could bring them to you. I.e., if we ship something into our test environment and we break it, we can fix it quickly. If we put a feature into a product, ship it to you, it breaks on your side, it's a little bit harder. So now we have to do the patch cycle and do all that stuff. So you see the on-prem releases have started lagging a bit behind the online releases from a feature point of view. Okay? This has a lot to do with really two core focuses. First, we're relying more and more on our sister services in the Azure world. Okay? It also relies more and more on the fact that the feature sets that we're taking advantage of in those worlds don't necessarily translate directly to on-prem. However, the platform, the core engine of CRM, continues to evolve and continues to support both technology stacks, which is how we still deliver the product to online and on-prem. And today, even today, it is still the same product delivered to online and to on-prem. Okay? What makes it different is the stuff that's around it. So, we think of ourselves at the end of the day, when we look at our groups within the CRM organization, we kind of break ourselves into two halves. We have the applications teams, the teams that are building the components that are all about the core business of CRM. Okay, those are the sales, the service, the marketing teams, the social engagement teams, the field service teams, are all focused on the portals team now, we're growing teams. They're all focused on delivering application technology on top of the platform. And then there's the platform team, the platform and infrastructure team. There's two parts to the platform team. There's the core engine, and then there's what we call the application infrastructure. So who here is used, by show of hands, the form system in CRM? OK, okay, by modified it. That's the application infrastructure. Plugins are part of the application infrastructure team. The data modeling engine, the deployment platform, the SDK, that's all part of the core component of CRM. So just kind of a little background about how we're organized and what we invest in as we move forward, okay? Before I go too much further, by show of hands, who here is a current CRM customer? Okay, wow, all right. Hi, guys. Who is on CRM 4? Nobody? Okay, first conference where I've asked that question and no one has raised their hand. Awesome. CRM 5, 2011, that would be 2011. Got a couple of folks. On-prem? I imagine you guys are still on-prem because I know the customers that we have online that are still on CRM 2011. Well, we still do have a couple. CRM 2013? Just a couple. So 2015, I guess the bulk of you then are on 2015 and then 2016. Okay, yeah. Okay, so as I just kind of rattled off a whole list of versions, every version I just talked about is versions that we're actively supporting. Okay, which means that we're patching and delivering updates for each one of those versions as we move forward. Now, we don't release new features for versions that have gone to the, what we think of as gone to the side. When we ship version 7, and then we close the door on 7 with 7.1, which was 2013, by the way, I think of things in version numbers, because marketing changes the names. as you'll see here in the coming months, marketing just changes names on us sometimes. So I've gotten to the point where I think of things in version numbers, and if you're into development, I encourage you to think about our version number stacks as well, because they help you understand the compatibility of our system. As we close the door on version 2013, version 7, 7X, we will continue to patch that. We'll continue to provide URs for that. We'll continue to provide bug fixes for that. But we're not going to backport features, major features back. Okay? Why won't we do that? Our agreement with our ISVs, our partners, and our customers at the end of the day is that we will maintain compatibility within a major and minor version of CRM, which means that if you build to a minor version, a 7.1 or an 8.0, that API is still going to work, regardless of what we do to it. Okay, in the background, we can fix things, we can modify things, but I cannot take something you're using today and just change it out from underneath you without giving you the ability to understand that you did it, that I did it. Okay, the way I give you that understanding is via a major update. So when I provide a major update, that means things are changing. When I provide a minor update, it means that new features are being added, new capabilities are being added, bugs are being fixed, but the API that you started to build with version 8 is still there. Now, why is that important? In the fall, you guys have heard, by show of hands, who has heard about this thing called Dynamics 365? Okay, that's releasing in the fall. The fall is a minor release, okay? It is not a major release for CRM. So we are providing backward support to your applications going forward. That's actually a commitment that we have internally. It's creating a lot of pain for us, but we will hold to that because we want you to be able to continue your business, continue forward. All right, so let's move forward and talk about the platform itself. At the end of the day, the core engine of CRM is built around a set of common goals and themes. At the end of the day, it's built around this idea of being able to rapidly develop objects and data, so model, design, deploy, very, very rapidly across deployment platforms and display vehicles. So mobile, web, you know, in some cases kiosk, in some cases APIs, the ability to provide the same feature set across each stack, regardless of the topology or the render surface that's provided for it. On top of this infrastructure, we have two major concepts. We have a thing called first-party applications. A first-party applications is sales or service, delivered by CRM, by us. It's part of our package. You install it, you get it. There isn't a way to turn it off today. That is a first-party add-on. The second way in which we support is via third-party add-ons, which we call configuration components. Configurable solutions, packages, applications. Who here, by show of hands, has seen AppSource? Okay, AppSource is a vehicle by which a lot of this is delivered. These capabilities are built on the platform for the platform. Okay? They're not built into the platform. It's a very important distinction in the way that we provide things. A thing that is built on the platform is optional. It doesn't have to be deployed. It doesn't have to be used. You don't want it. You just don't deploy it. You don't add it in. Why does that matter? At the end of the day, the more objects, the more things inside a CRM deployment, the more things that you're responsible for, the more places that data can be stored, the more storage that can be consumed. Okay? By show of hands, who has seen the project service or field service applications? Those are treated as third-party applications. Complete application conversion, new controls, new UI, new components, they are deployed via solutions. They are not shipped in the box. Okay? Portals is not shipped in the box. That's actually all configured and deployed on demand based on what you want, using publicly available capabilities that you yourselves can use in your development efforts. Okay? This has become a very strong mantra within our organization. As we build new components, we build on the platform, okay, not for the platform. So let's move on. Let's talk about the platform itself. Why is it that we advocate using CRM for these kinds of purposes? At the end of the day, when you're using CRM from the point of view of an online infrastructure, we provide a lot of the capabilities and support to keep the engine running. We don't make you have to deal with the care and feeding of the infrastructure. You don't have to deal with the networking. You don't have to deal with the security. We handle lots and lots of the audit aspects for you. We handle the compliance side of it for you. All of these services, capabilities, are rolled into that infrastructural cost. We spend a lot of time making sure the service is resilient. Okay? Those of you that are current customers in CRM Online, you've noticed we've had a burp or two the last couple of days, last week, I think. Those are the things that, you know, when those happen, we're the guys that are up at 2 a.m. getting it solved. Okay? Very, very quickly. And then going back the next 3 or 4 days, you know, with, depending on who's in charge, some profanity-laced statements about how did it happen and how not to make it happen again. Those are the kinds of things that we commit and we bring to you in the platform itself. So when we thought about the development of the platform, and as we think about it going forward, we think about things from the point of view of challenges. The core challenges that we're looking to fight through are, how do you handle your various unique business processes? It's one thing for me to go off and design a system that's purpose-built, in my case, to go do certification for applications coming in for AppSource. There's a business process, there's a sequence defined, I can develop that. Okay? There's 30 languages out there I can build that in. Okay? But building a platform that can tolerate that, plus what you need, what you need, what you need, what you need, all without ever knowing what you actually do need, is a core challenge for us. We also look at things from the point of view of supporting the ability to secure that data, providing through the stack security to be able to know who touched it, when did it get touched, what was it, what is it now, can the person see it, do they even have access to it? But not only providing it from the point of view of the UI, but providing it from the point of view of the SDK. So again, it's something that you don't have to concern yourself with as an external developer consuming the service. You know that if I connect as MBarber and I'm connected to the HR network at work, the HR CRM instance, all I'm ever going to see is my own data. Okay. The other major challenge that we have to deal with is the concept of the need to provide productivity systems within the environment. What's the major failing of almost every CRM out there? It's a tool that I'm making my sales or service person use, underbar making. If you try to make a customer or an employee use something that they don't want to use, they see it as a tool, they don't want to use it. They will find ways around it. This is how access systems get invented and get stuck underneath desks, okay, and suddenly become mission critical. This is how that happens. It's something that we think about a lot, and we work with our friends in office to focus on. How do we integrate CRM into your daily tasks in such a way that you can accomplish your goal in line of your business without having to step out and do this extra thing? Okay? Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. And we work very hard to be successful a lot more than we're not. The next major area that we're focused on is the ability to integrate. Okay? At the end of the day, integration used to not be a big deal. You know, CRM's the center of the world. Everything should be in CRM. That's not the case. That hasn't been the case for a long time. In fact, those folks that used to stand there and tell me that when I was sitting where you are, I always wondered if that was the case. The reality is that data is a federated thing. Data is everywhere. Bringing that all together into one place at one point doesn't make a lot of sense, but being able to integrate and act on it through an integration experience or a rules-based experience is much, much more relevant and capable. So that's something that we think about from the platform point of view at the end of the day. Remember, I was saying that we're leveraging all of those assets around us in the stack, so it's something that we have to spend a lot of time about. And then the last major aspect is that we still are one of the, I think we're the only now, vendor that actually ships the same product on-prem and online. Okay, the actual same source code. We have to be able to handle that, being able to take these things, understand that it's an on-premise deployment, and therefore these features are enabled or disabled, or they're wired to something different, versus online. The UI happens to be a mobile client, the UI happens to be an Android tablet, the UI happens to be a Safari-based Apple device. It happens to be an Optera browser, which, if anybody used an Optera browser, really? It's actually one of the better browsers out there. It's a very base Firefox, but anyway. One of those things that we get into sometimes, you know, how relevant is it to actually officially state we support Optera? Okay, so how do we solve these? The first goal is essentially to build out the concept of our stack. Everything in CRM, whenever you're defining something new, starts with its metadata, starts with the definition of the model. Okay? Now, in the SQL world or in the .NET development world, that would typically entail using something like the Entity Framework or sitting down with a whiteboard and your SQL guy and building a bunch of SQL scripts or whatever your favorite database, if you're into flat files, whatever. You have to come up with a storage engine. The metadata system of CRM allows you to focus more on what it is you want to do. You describe the object. It is an entity that has fields, and those fields contain something. Okay? There's a set of types of those fields. There's list boxes, pick lists, many of the common types of fields, and these are data types that we're adding. In the future, you'll see things like geospatial types. You'll see other types of fields in the future. This allows you to define what that model is. Now, when you define and stamp that model, you get a lot of other things. You immediately get security all the way through the stack. We provide it. You get a UI. We provide it. You get SDK awareness. We provide it. And it happens as fast as you clicking publish. As soon as you save it, publish it, it's in the API. You don't believe me? Try it sometime. Okay. If you've written a statically static interface against an object and you change the object, you click save, you'll find the interface is different very, very quickly. The next area that we wanted to focus on is a capability called business rules. Business rules have meant a lot of things. In the CRM 3 and 4 days and 5 days, they meant writing a ton of JavaScript that went into a form. Okay. In the CRM 6, we began introducing something we called the business rules engine. We've modeled that out and continued to invest in that, bringing forth the ability to essentially most of the common tasks that you deal with can now be done declaratively through a business rules experience. Now, we've come back to that, and we've started thinking about how can we improve that experience with the concept of an end-to-end lifecycle. It's one thing when you think about a business process, a business rule, business process engine that deals with, you know, is this a valid, is this not a valid, reformat the number, do this. It's another thing entirely when you start thinking about, I need to see this span the life cycle of a piece of data or of an entity or multiple entities. These are all focuses within our engine. Security, again, down to the core. The ability to know what your data is, who has access to it, who's touched it, what kind of data it is, and whether or not it's and where it's stored. Now, one of the things that those of you on CRM Online will have seen is that anytime you add or access something through AppSource, or you add a module through CRM, you're presented with a terms and service document. Okay? It doesn't matter what you do. If you add a solution to the system, you're presented with a terms and service document. Why is that? The reason is that we control and can audit and provide security of data that's contained within our boundaries. However, when you add a solution, specifically something like portals, or specifically something that interfaces with an external engine, that goes outside of our security boundary. This is how we tell you, okay? So if you're one of those people that just clicks through those agreements, you should stop sometimes and actually go, okay, well, is it right to send my credit card data out to AWS? Maybe I shouldn't be doing that, okay? Is it right to send my customer's contact data off the reservation? All of these things are important in the security aspect of the world. Also, identity and federation. Business settings are another core area. How does the business operate? Again, at the heart of the system, we are a front office system. So we are focused on dealing with the ability to add or remove or control organization-based settings, hours of operation, resource scheduling, those sorts of things. So if we think about things like project management or field service, CRM has a resource module, and it's had it for years. It is relatively, anybody used it out of curiosity? Resource management in CRM? One person, two people. It was relatively primitive. Since we've brought in project service and field service, it has been ground up redesigned, but brought to the core because the concept of resource management is something that we want to make available. Resource management does not necessarily mean figuring out when a tech needs to go to a guy's house. It could also mean, how do I lay out the schedule for the next shift for call center? It could mean, how do I schedule this set of assets into a provisioning system? How could I provision something or do something within a schedule and slot it in based on a resource constraint? It's a lot of capability, which made us decide to bring that into the platform and make it part of the business setting system. Personalization is another aspect, and you're going to see this actually get really a lot of focus in the future, and that's the ability to personalize your UI, your agent's UI. Now, there's two levels to personalization. There is the, there's the what I think of as the older world concept of I know best and I'm going to tell you. And then there's the other side where you want to let the customer or the user do whatever it is they want within the UI. Most of the time, the actual area is somewhere in between, and we've been progressively moving from the we'll tell you how to do it to the in between. Okay? We've had customers look at us and go, really, we want Facebook for CRM, and we want them to be able to drag anything around and put it anywhere they want. It's actually feedback that we've taken a couple of times and looked at and made some decisions about. And you may see some of that enter into our UX experience in the future. But these are all kinds of concepts that we deal with. Now, the key thing about personalization is that it needs to follow you. This is something that's kind of come down as a mandate from the overall organization. Personalization should follow you around. Who here has a Windows 10 device? Who's got an Xbox? Who's got more than one? Who's got a Windows phone? I may be in the minority here. A couple of folks. Okay, but those of you that don't, their Windows 10 settings go to their phones, their browser history lists go to their phones, their Xbox stuff syncs to their phones, they can change something on their phone, it syncs back to their Windows phone, their themes follow them around, all their icons follow them around, okay? They've personalized their experience and it follows them everywhere, okay? It's a concept that we're looking at, how do we project that into the business application space? Now, we certainly wouldn't want you going from one competitor to another and your settings following you, maybe. But themes, colors, layouts, those sorts of things make sense. If you're dealing with a shift type environment or you're moving from one system to another to be able to follow you around. Okay? These are all areas of personalization that we spend a lot of time thinking about. Then last, and if not least, is the customization system. We are, from a platform point of view, at the heart and soul, we are an engine. We are a business applications engine, which means that if we don't provide it out of the box, we give you a way to build it, okay? So you want to be able to build something that interfaces with Waze and brings data in from Waze, assuming Google would open those APIs, you can do it, okay? You want to integrate with AWS for offloading your files to a data storage location? We don't provide that out of the box. You can do it, okay? We give you that capability. By show of hands, who here is an ISV? Just a couple of folks. If those of you that aren't ISVs want to get an idea of what you can do with the customization system, take a walk around the floor and look for the CRM folks. Okay? You'll see some radically different extensions and capabilities that are developed based on our customization system. All right, so Let's talk about data access to a level that I like to get into, because people don't realize how much effort we put into this. So from a data access point of view, access starts with figuring out who you are. We are AAD-based, Azure Active Directory-based, in CRM Online, okay? What does that mean? It means that CRM itself doesn't actually manage the identity. We actually don't have your identity. We never do. We have a reference to who you are, a token, but we never know your credential. We never have your password. We never see any of that. That's all managed by AAD. And if you don't trust them, you can use what's called multi-factor authentication. Who here knows what multi-factor authentication is? Have seen it? Okay. If you're a Microsoft employee, you have experienced it. Effectively, what it means, for those of you that don't know, is that if you want to log into a resource, your user account and password aren't good enough. You can start with that, but then you have to validate your identity via another mechanism. Now, that could be a device on your phone. It could be a phone call that you have to respond with a specific passphrase to. It could be a fob. If you remember the old RSA devices, that was a form of multi-factor authentication. But it's been standardized into Azure Active Directory. It's something that Azure's Active Directory team is spending a lot of time advocating. It is really super easy to turn on now, too. If you have a CRM Online account, enabling it is incredibly easy now. It's in your Office settings. Okay? Now, once you do it, that allows us to figure out who you are. Your authorization still resides with CRM today. Okay? What can you do is still determined based on your security role and security group associations within CRM. So, who here has set up CRM security? Okay, awesome. I'm actually glad that there's a bunch of people. Who here understands CRM security? I figured that would be a smaller list. At the end of the day, the key things you need to think about with CRM security is that it is an ORG list. It is an ORG list. So if you give somebody sales admin and give them system admin, they're a system admin, okay? If you give them sales and CSR manager, it aggregates, puts those two sets of permissions together, and they get both. Okay, there is not a not concept in CRM. So it is very, very important that you understand that when you add somebody to a team that also has a security group assigned to it, they inherit the team's security roles in addition to their own. Okay? Security is paramount from an authorization point of view. That leads on to data access. What can you touch? What can you do with what you touch? Can you look at your own records? Can you delete? Can you modify? Take some time to understand that. We provide that down to an incredibly granular level within the system. And then we have a feature called field-level security. Field-level security is, for all intents and purposes, column-level visibility control, okay? You can add rules that will allow you to insert but not view. Why would you ever do that? I don't know, but you can do it, okay? It's just an oddball case. You can have rules that allow you to view but not edit. There's numerous combinations that can be associated with that. And that all rolls down to the final point, which is compliance. In order to achieve the compliance levels that we supply, user security and access control is a huge, huge aspect of most compliance requirements. So this allows us to provide the documentation trails both for your compliance organizations and our own and the various industries and agencies that we need to supply that. Now, it's one aspect of the overall system. There's also data security, physical access, a bunch of other things. But at the end of the day, access control is a huge aspect of that. So let's move on and talk about process management integration. Now remember, I said that at the end of the day, CRM isn't the center of the world. We're a big part of it. We like to think of ourselves sometimes that way, but at the end of the day, we have to play nice with others. So we have to be able to deal with transforming data and integrating data between applications and systems. Now, there's multiple ways within the CRM world that we do it, those being the ability through workflow components, through plugin components, to transform data from one state to another. You'll see us improve those feature sets within the application over the years, over the coming years from the point of view that we don't necessarily want you to have to write plugins to do transformational code. The first foray into that is something called any-to-any. Okay, has anybody seen that feature? That's been in CRM since version 8. And it allows you to transform any entity to any other entity, okay, through rules. And it's in CRM version 8. Okay, it's a transformation rule. You'll see us do more with that over time. You visually see it if you go through the UX, you'll see it as part of the email to case behavior. That's what it grew out of. Okay. So what we're going to do next is we're actually going to look at some of this. Now, for this, I'm only going to show two of these, but I'm going to show you some integration feature sets that we have with CRM today that allow us to do some, you know, some fun stuff. So let's start with this one. This one. All right. So I'm going to drag this over here and make this big. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with something called Flow. So who here has played with Flow before? Anybody? I'm going to shameless plug, if you haven't played with Flow before, you need to. Okay? And I'm going to show you why you need to. So Flow is a friendly front end on top of Logic Apps. It's an easy way to think about it. It's a friendly workflow engine. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go start a new flow. So let's see, I want to do flow. Am I signed in? I want to go to my flows. I'm going to create a blank flow. Okay? Now, for my job, my task is to take a task that I create and send it to my Wunderlist list. Okay? A task created in CRM to Wunderlist. How would you do that? Okay? Think, you know, the devs in here, think about that. How would you do that? Well, you'd probably start with building a workflow activity or a plugin that you'd need to capture a task. You'd need to capture the data, have something that formatted into the output stream, and then you'd have to have some way to capture the customer security data and store that. Fair? Okay. So that's a dev task, some Visual Studio stuff, and a bunch of other things. Let's do it this way. So we're going to start with CRM. And when a record is created, I want to choose the org that I care about. In this case, it's an org called Azure. And I care specifically about a task. Okay, so when a task is created, what do I want to do? So I want to add an action. In this case, I'm going to send it to Wunderlist. I'm going to create a task. I'm going to choose the list because I've already logged in and created the connection. I'm going to send it to my work. And I need to put something in the title. So I can either put the subject in or I can choose one of the fields that's available on the task to put it in. Okay. Send to list. ST. There you go. Create the flow. Neat. Does it work? So here's my activity here. And over here is my list. Okay? So a couple of you guys know me out of work and know that I have horses. And I got a call this morning. It was not a good call. And that was the call that said my horse got upset and leaned on his stall door and busted his stall door. It's expensive. But I need to create a reminder to remind myself to go fix this. So, need to replace Eli's stall door when I get back to home. Okay. Some text. As the horse is a pain in the knee. And I'm going to save that. Okay, so I've saved that. Now, if I come over to my Manage My Flows, I'm sitting here in what they call, or what Flow tends to call, their debug experience. The list is, the work is created, it's set, it's ready to be operate on, and you'll see over the next moment or two, hopefully, it'll happen pretty quickly, we'll see CRM actually pick the record up, send it to Flow, or Flow more appropriately, pick the record up, send it across. That will end up creating a task over here in Wunderlist. The time it takes to do it, though, is let's take a look at that. Oh, hasn't run yet. Give it a quick refresh. If it doesn't refresh right away, that's fine. What we'll do is we'll move on and look at something else while we're waiting for it to pick up. So let's move on and look at something else while it's picking up. The other feature set that we added as part of, and this is going to get a little techie, as part of our integration feature set, who here has used our service bus integration before inside CRM? Okay, who here has heard about it? Okay, so integrating with service bus and CRM used to be a royal pain in the knee because of all the work that you had to do to get it set up. Okay, there was ACS stuff that you had to get set up. There was a bunch of other things. So we've changed a little bit of that and made this what we believe to be quite a bit easier to work with. So let's go down and grab service buses. So I've created a service bus, okay, here in Azure. I've created a service bus. Now let's say for argument's sake that I was going to connect something to the other end of this service bus, and it was something that required a stateful queue, okay? I needed to create a loosely coupled connection between two systems. So I've got a listener someplace else that's listening to this bus. It's going to operate on things in a sequential flow. Now, if I go into the service bus, I don't have anything in here right now, so I'm just going to create a new queue. I'm going to do a quick create. Let's just call this my queue. My queue. And we're going to click that. System's going to go off. Azure's now created my service bus queue. Now, I want to pump something out to my service bus queue. Now, because I don't have something on the other end of this, I have a little nifty tool here called the Service Bus Explorer. Anybody ever use this tool? Something the Azure team puts out. It's kind of nice. It lets you actually look at what's in queues and actually see what's going on inside the queue. So if I were to click on messages, I can actually retrieve the messages that are in the queue at any given moment in time. So I'm going to use this to actually show that we're sending stuff. So here I've got my my queue created. I'm going to step into my queue, and I'm going to come in, and I'm going to go over to configure, and I'm going to come down here to my policies. So I'm going to create a new policy. I'm going to call it write only. And I'm going to give it the ability to send messages. I'm going to save that. Close that down. You'll notice I now have a primary and a secondary key for my write only. Now that's neat. I'm going to come back over here under dashboards. I'm going to look at my connection information for my account. I can see that I have an endpoint. I'm going to copy my endpoint. Come over here to the plugin registration tool. And I'm going to create a new service bus endpoint. And we're going to start with a connection string. Click Next. It reads all that information right out. Now, I can make a couple of choices here. I can pump that out as a .NET binary, so those of you that have done it before. But, you know, JSON's a little bit easier to use, so I'm going to use JSON instead because it's easier to read, actually. I'm going to go ahead and hit Save. System has now saved that. Now I need to attach something to it. So I'm going to add a new step. And in this case, I'm going to put a step on create. I'm going to do task. I'm going to let it run post and asynchronous is actually what I'm going to do. I'm going to register that new step. I've now created a step that's going to put data out on a service bus when I create a new task. So I've already created a new task. I'm going to create another one. I'm going to create this one. We're going to call this one my second task. Go ahead and save. I've created that. That'll save off. And in just a moment or two, I'll go back to the service bus. In the meantime, let's go take a look at this. He still hasn't run. Why hasn't he run? There he goes. So he ran 30 seconds ago. It succeeded. What does success look like? Success looks like I need to go fix Eli's stall door. Okay? So asynchronous running for this particular thing through Flow, I created the ability, I created a thing that would have taken me a couple hours to write as a plugin and solved a whole bunch of problems around security and isolation that I would have had to solve in CRM that I didn't need to. And I was able to drag and drop it together. Now, that's awesome. We have something here that does this. What happens if you want to go build your own? You have system A to system B, and you want system A and system B to participate in a CRM conversation. Okay? The way you do that is with logic apps. Okay? You create in the Azure world a thing called an API app that in turn interfaces with your application. The API app is nothing more than a REST endpoint. So there's code you've got to write there. Publish that up to Azure, and you can consume that as a logic app. What Flow is, at the end of the day, is a WYSIWYG designer, really, on top of logic apps. So the logic apps folks will probably growl at me for saying it that way. But at the end of the day, that's really what it is. Because if I come over here and look at my Azure experience, here in my Azure experience, I have my logic app. Within my logic app, I have a similar design experience. So once again, I can start with CRM, and I can choose when a record is created, the deployment and the entity that I want. There we go, tasks. You notice that we have something a little bit better control here. I can actually control the frequency by which it's polling and interacting with it. And let me pause here and say that this is a first generation for us. Polling isn't the way we actually want it to work, okay? We actually want it to work based responding based on an event being raised from CRM in the fact that you saved a record. That is coming very, very soon. That is actually coming, okay? So right now, you have the ability to react to a specific frequency, so let's have it poll every 30 seconds. You have some advanced options where you can go down and actually build a filter. If you choose to do that, we're going to hide the advanced options, add a new step. Now, you notice that we've got some extra pieces here. Just like in Flow, we've got add an action, add a condition. Conditions are your for, your next, your so on and so forth. In addition, in logic apps, you have a for each and a do until. Okay? Who has ever needed to do a for each as part of a workflow inside CRM? Really? Only one? Couple of folks. Okay. I have, on my own occasion, discovered the need to do it on many, many occasions, okay? So the question immediately is, well, that's awesome, Flow does it. Why don't we do it inside CRM, okay? Why don't we actually implement it inside CRM? Flow does it, okay? That doesn't mean we won't implement it inside CRM. It means that, for the moment, we're going to look at you and say, Flow is a fantastic tool for that. In the future, we'll give you better and more robust capabilities, both within and without the product, focused on it. Going back to what I said earlier about the ecosystem that we're standing in, this team's sole responsibility in life in the CNE organization is to build the best workflow engine in the world. Okay? That's their entire job. Okay? Why do we want to compete with them when we're inside the same company? We're going to want to work with them. Okay? So that's the reason that we focus so much on integration in this regard. Now, if I come back over to that service bus experience, let's double check that, see if that's happened. Come back over here, let's refresh this. There's a message in the queue. We're gonna go look at that. Click messages again, get everything. There's my message. There's actually my text, and there it all is in JSON. Okay, consumable from pretty much anybody's language stack. You want to write a PHP parser on the other end of that? There's a GitHub lib out there that lets you write a PHP listener for Service Bus. and you can consume it. Do whatever you want with it at that point. It comes out as a JSON object that is very easily parsable. Now, what is a practical application of this? I'm going to pause here and talk real quickly about a practical application of this. You've heard me say a couple of times or talk a couple of times about AppSource. We do all of our certification management through CRM. We use our own product, our own workflow engines, our own processing engines to manage it. Our provisioning system is entirely Azure-based at this point. Okay? We communicate cleanly and smoothly with every aspect. Every time you see CRM cloud provisioning, that's Azure talking to us. And we're talking back interactively through that service bus capability, specifically using event hubs to do the work. One of the features that we have as part of the new registration, new integration support capability is the event hubs integration. That is all active and available. So we're going to move back into the presentation. Now, everything I've shown you is live today. If you go out, start up a subscription on CRM Online right now, pull it down, a trial subscription is enough. Everything I've shown you is live today. Flow works today, Service Bus integration works today, Logic Apps integration all works today, Power BI integration works today. All of that is live, okay? So let's move on a little bit. Learning path. This is another big, big area of investment that we have. The ability to provide contextual help within the system. Who here has needed to write a custom help system before? A couple of folks? Only one, only once. Writing custom help is a pain. Getting it into CRM is a bigger pain, okay? So we've focused now on providing you the capability to do that. Now, you see that today in our trials environment. We have a thing called guided help. It slides out from the left. It's got some videos and some other things into it. The intent of that feature set is that it will be in your hands to be able to build customized help for your implementations. The tools that we use to build it are in app today. Okay, we already have the tools in the application to do it. We just aren't quite happy with them to let them out of the proverbial barn, but that is something that's coming in the near future. Guided help, though, is a major focus for us. Right now, it allows you to attach to any particular area of the form a specific kind of help. So contextual based on, am I looking at the account field, the account name field? What's the guidelines that go with the account? Is there a video that needs to play as part of that? Is there a procedural video, a job aid that needs to play as part of working with this entity? All of that's intended to be managed by you and wired against your solutions, okay, and your deployments. This guided help is also something that's focused on being able to provide the same contextual guidance regardless of the display vehicle. So if you're in the Mocha client, the mobile clients, the three versions of it, the three variants that we have, it's the same client, same content. If you're in the web client, it's there. If you're in the interactive service hub, which is actually a different client for us, it's there. Okay? And it works the same way, all the way across the board, the same concept. Use of the contextual and guided help is also something that we're capturing. Are your customers actually looking at it? Are your users actually reading the help? Okay, that sort of context, telemetry on it is important. The other aspect that we're trying to get into it for you guys is the feature set that we have. You've seen it all through MSDN, the link at the bottom that says, add a correction, contact the author. Okay, that feature set's something that we very much like to get into it. Part of the telemetry aspect, the idea that the people who know the job the best are generally the people in the field. You have a process person that comes in and tells them how they're supposed to do their job, but at the end of the day, a lot of times people find a better way. Sometimes not. But the ability to provide feedback from the field back to the authors and modify and update your help on the fly is something we want to bring into the application. All right. Again, the concept of being able to bring your own device. From our mobile client strategy, when we think about mobile, we think about it really in two ways. There's clients, there's rich clients that we ship out to the mobile devices, but we also want the browser to work. on almost every popular mobile device that's out there. Notice I use that word popular, okay? There are so many variants of Android today that it makes the old Windows CE ecosystem look small, okay? So being able to support absolutely every last one of them out there is something that is frankly beyond our scope. We support best effort, and we have picked specific versions, when I talk about Android, of Android that we support, and the browser should, air quotes, work across the board. That's actually one of our 10 general goals. If the browser complies with current HTML5 standards, CSS3 standards, it should work, okay? The rich clients are targeted at specific versions. All right. Let's talk about Office integration. I've been talking a lot about the core platform and integration. Now let's talk about the productivity piece. The productivity piece is partially Office, but partially other components that we have in our stack. We have something we call Portals. Portals is an acquisition that we made. It was originally ADX Studios. We have brought them in-house and utilized their feature set and capabilities. We've re-engineered some of it. But we've brought it in-house, and we fully web deploy it now. We worked with the Azure organization and their web applications team to optimize how the web application experience worked, okay? Those of you that have deployed ADX in the past knew that they had a particular set of plugins that were very, very noisy. They talked a lot. You'll notice that in the new portal instances, they're gone. Why are they gone? But it still works the way it used to. It's because we've optimized that. We've found a way to improve that, a capability that we're actually going to bring to you guys in the future, okay? But again, it's leading edge stuff where we figure it out, we spend the time to get the technology stack right before we rush it out and bring it to you. Now, I've also got the other camp that looks at me and says, I don't care if it's not stable, put it out. We want to play with it. I got to balance that by the people that actually run their business on the app. So that's essentially the debate that happens every time we do something like this. Of course, we also have our Yammer integration. We've had that for a while. We continue to invest in that, continue to work with that. Office productivity tools, who's seen the Office apps that we've started shipping? The Outlook client for Office, the Office web app, that's actually pretty nice. That's getting a lot better. First iteration of that was kind of, it was there, but it was kind of, I can say that as a platform guy. I don't think he's in the room, so I'm not going to get yelled at too bad. But the implementations that they're putting out now are actually getting to be really, really nice. They're really starting to bring that parity bar up with the actual Outlook client. We're doing the same for PowerPoint, for Word. We're doing the same for Excel. Who's worked with the Excel add-in for CRM, the Office Online Excel add-in for CRM? Yep, there's a guy there. What is it? What's the big feature of that? Interactive editing. Edit, save, edit, save, edit, save, right back to CRM through Excel, okay? Very, very powerful capability, and we're continuing to expand that. Office Groups integration. Who's looked at Office Groups? Who has no idea in the world what Office Groups is? Okay, a couple of people. So if you've never looked at Office Groups, this is in that same class with Flow. These are the gems. The Flow team has done a fantastic job. The Office Groups team has done a fantastic job. Take a look at Office Groups if you're an Office 365 customer. We fully integrated that into CRM as well, so you have contextual experience within your team, inside your group. Groups can be associated to records, to opportunities, to pursuits, to custom objects, okay? So you can create a group around a particular account pursuit or a particular trouble incident and use that to resolve problems, okay? Collaboratively with people that aren't part of CRM, okay? Very, very important feature set. And then, of course, content collaboration, sharing with document management. This is an area that we've made some really good strides in, but there's a lot more to do in this area. Document management, collaborative sharing, the ability to use things like OneNote, the ability to use things like OneDrive for data storage that in turn bring through the ability to have multiple authors concurrently editing a document while that document's actually stored in CRM. Okay, that kind of capability. And I use the air quotes because in reality, the back end is actually being stored either as a OneNote document on OneDrive or it's a document stored in OneDrive. Okay. As part of that, we've also brought in templating Excel for both Excel and for Word, the ability to use template doc sets and new templating capabilities of Word to bring that capability set in. These are considered parts of the application infrastructure and productivity. There's parts of it in the platform and parts of it in the productivity stack. From a lifecycle management, again, this is an area that we've spent a tremendous amount of investment on, and you'll see us continue to invest in this. Now, from a lifecycle point of view, the solution system, who's been with us since CRM 4? A couple of folks were in here for 4. You guys have seen the solution system change pretty radically over the last couple of years. I would hope that most of you think it's for the better. The solution system is being evolved steadily to support the needs of our own internal organizations as well as the feedback. This also drives a very rich ALM development effort around the solutioning infrastructure inside CRM. It's something that CRM has been challenged with because of its design principles. CRM is designed as an application that is targeted at a business analyst. Okay? When we think about the UX experience, that's what it was built for. But when we start bringing developers into it, and we start stepping down into the customizations area of CRM that really now, JavaScript, wow, we're talking about devs. Okay? So evolving that feature set out is a huge priority. Packaging and distribution of solutions and the components, again, huge priority. Who here knows what the package deployer is? Okay, package deployer supports built-in upgrade. It's supported it since day one it shipped. We exposed that feature set in the application itself as part of version 8 of CRM. So you can now take a solution, import it through the web UI, and you can choose to upgrade versus replace. Okay, what does that do for you? It lets you clean yourself up. Updates for solutions wouldn't delete things. We never would delete things. Upgrades do delete things. That's the big change between them. Okay. Performance enhancements with solutions, it's something that we're consistently focused on improving both import performance and reducing the impact to your customers. Our nirvana is when we can get to the point where we can install a solution that for one reason or another takes an hour to install and your users do not notice. Okay, that's where we're going with this, okay? All right, deployment and management. CRM Online, how many folks in here use CRM Online? Okay, you guys notice that we added backups. Do you guys see that pop out? Yeah, you like that. Backups has got some interesting roadmap as well, some neat stuff coming. But in CRM Online, we give you the same capabilities for deployment and management as you have on-prem. You have the ability to have multiple instances, backup and restore between multiple instances, create partial backups, reset your instances to various versions of CRM. We give you that feature set and manage that through the admin center for CRM. Additionally, we give you the ability to manage, that's the wrong way to say that. We do support the ability for you guys to have what we call multi-geo tenants. So tenants that are managing deployments across various regions of the world. We do not yet give you the ability to share data between them. Okay? That's a technical but more of a political problem that we're having to solve from a legal and compliance point of view as to how far can we let that go and get you to consent where we can step out of that and go, we're doing what they asked us to do. So there's a lot of neat stuff there. For deployment capabilities, once again, we support 3 different deployment topologies today. Online, which is super simple and easy and quick and actually going to get really neat in the upcoming months. There's some new features that are coming out that allow for instances to be pre-stamped with configurations, new capabilities pre-loaded onto them. You can choose how you want it to be, so you don't have to go through the extra, I want to enable this, that, and the other. On-premise, self-hosted, this is still an option and will continue to be an option. And of course, hosting an on-premise instance in Azure. Okay, we have folks that do that. They run infrastructure as a service running in Azure. All right. Upgrades. Who here has been through an upgrade on CRM Online? Okay. So used to be on CRM Online, we would just say, you're upgrading on this date, and that was it. You upgraded on that date. We've now reached the point in a maturity level with our infrastructure online where we can say, when would you like to upgrade? We're going to pre-schedule you, but you have the option of choosing when you want to upgrade. Accept it or not, decline it, come back to us and say, no, we're not ready to go. You also have the ability, if you're coming from if you skipped an upgrade, to choose which one you want to go to. So a customer that's coming off 6.1, CRM 2013, Service Pack 1, who is still on CRM Online, couldn't choose to land on CRM 7, 2015, or 7.1. 2015 SP1, or 8.0, which is 2016, or 8.1 Service Pack 1, which is, or 2016 Service Pack 1, which is 8.1. Okay, you have that power of choice as you upgrade. We also give you the ability to pre-upgrade your deployment in a sandbox to make sure that everything's going to work for you. Solve those problems before they get there. All right. One last thing, and then we're going to get to the look at some of the new cool stuff that's coming. Connectivity to CRM Online. We do have the ability now to do express route for CRM Online. It has to be set up through an agreement. There is you have to contact your CRM sales rep and go through the Azure guys to get all that set up. But we do support it out to our data centers now. I think worldwide, so except for GovCloud. GCC doesn't support it. I don't know why, but it doesn't. So we're set up with that. All right, so let's move on and talk about some new stuff. Now, I'm going to caution straight away and say that what we're going to look at here is builds from last night. Okay? I'm sitting here going... Anyone in here Star Wars fans? Hold together, baby. Okay, so let's take a look at this. All right, so we're gonna start with this. This is the active account screen for a build that came out last night. What do you notice about it right away? First off, there's icons in line, okay? The ability to have icons and have the icons mean textual data. That's neat. But we've also now given you the ability to do things like editing and, hey, check it out, I can go Nancy here. There you go. I'll tell the PM that you guys are happy, okay? Now you'll also notice that you got a little red dot there on your status, okay? We don't save it immediately. If I move off, I can do a whole bunch of editing. So right now, actually, I'm sorry, it gives you the ID of where it is, but the save button lights up. So if you guys are going to get in the preview program, if you're not, please get in the preview program. If you have an opinion about this, the way the save stuff works today is that you go through, you edit your lines, and you have to click the save button. You have to click the save button to actually save it back. It does not save in line, which is the way that the CRM pages save. So it is a little bit different. So feedback on that's really important. The neat thing is that you also have an undo button. Oops, undo, 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 undo. So you can fix that. So this is a new way of doing save that we'd like to get some feedback on. So how do you set that up? So what we're gonna do here is we're gonna come over here to settings. We're gonna go to solutions. I'm gonna pop open this solution right here. Notice that I am actually going to a solution, okay? Oh, there you go. So here's my accounts. You'll notice we have a tab here called controls. If I click on this, you'll see something called editable grids. Now, what is this really? We introduced in 7.1 a thing called the custom control framework. This is an internal feature set that we've built out that allows us to bring new WYSIWYG controls into the environment as solution-aware components. The intent has always been to open it up for third parties to be able to build their own. The editable grid is brought to you by the, I believe it's actually brought to you by the MSC, the social team, who got tired of it and built an editable grid using our custom control framework and brought it in and showed it. And then we've brought it in and actually built it out, but it is manifested in the system as a control within the environment, which means it can be added to anything, okay? It can be added to entity. It's also, in our world, a test base for how the custom control framework will actually pan out from a customizations point of view. So going back to the statement of, if you're not in the preview program, please do, please give us feedback on this, okay? We need to get that feedback to make sure that when we do ship it this way and we allow for folks to begin building their own, that it makes sense, it works, and it flows properly. So as we say, as we go through to configure the editable grid, you can see the various vehicles that it can show up on. Right now, it can show up on the tablet or the web. And then within it, I can choose what is my anchor component. So if I go and say parent ID, I can bind that to a particular field, actually. That's already bound. If I add a lookup, I can add a lookup based on the particular view and the column. Okay, this is essentially what that editable grid axles around. Okay, what is the anchor component of the grid? Within the grid, I can think about the various views that exist within the account that allow for how lookups to work. I can also tie events to the grid. Okay, what happens when I change a particular row? What's the business rule that needs to run? What's the JavaScript that needs to run to support that? We're providing you that capability into the grid structure. Okay. So again, feedback, very, very important on this as you guys get access to it as part of the preview releases. All right, so let's go back and look at the next preview feature. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to click the search button. Who uses QuickFind? Okay, who likes QuickFind? I got one guy. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you for liking QuickFind. All right. Let's just go with that. Oh, lost it there. Last night's build. So, relevant search. If you guys have heard, anybody heard Mike Carter talk about relevant search? No, a couple of folks. If you catch the airlifts, if you're in the preview program, we had the airlifts where we talk about relevant search. This is relevant search. This is a feature set that we're actually in preview on now. You can do this if you have CRM Online. You can go and activate this feature. It's not quite this, it's a version of this. This is the version that we'll be shipping as part of the fall release. The fall release version gives you quite a bit more contextual support. You now have the ability to see both wildcard or variant-based searching. So for example, I said Nancy wants a new store. It hit on new store. It hit on Nancy. It hit on wants. It gives you this capability and then orders it based on the number of occurrence. As it's been explained to me, and I'm going to say here, the person who is the expert on this is Mike Carter. If you have any questions in depth, I will link you up with Mike Carter. But it essentially orders the results based on the relevance to the words that you've asked for. You can also do things like filter down when it was modified on. So as you can see, we've got 1 year ago. We can filter it down. Hello, grab the mouse. There we go. Let's filter it down to yesterday, which is going to be when the demo got built, so there's not going to be a whole lot of stuff in there. I'll filter down today and see if there was anything created today. Oh, there was one. I created a new opportunity. So we hit on the word new. I can also see the record type, who searched it, the opportunity owner. Span this back out. Maybe I'm interested only in, say, the phone calls. Okay? So we tune it down and we look at the phone calls. Now, this is the upcoming feature set, or the upcoming UX for the new relevant search feature set. As I said, it's available today. You can go, again, to that CRM Online environment, go into your previews tab, click the preview button, enable it, okay? Now, how do you configure relevant search? Relevant search is actually pretty nifty, pretty easy to configure. If you go through the settings area, once again, we'll go over here into solutions, and we're gonna open up, let's open this solution up, and we're gonna grab the entity here. And I want to go to components. And grab a entity contact. We'll start with contact. And it looks like we've got a bug. Yep, got a bug. Let's see if it shows up here. Stay. Come to entities, that's okay. There it is, configure relevant search, so it shows up here. So when you configure relevant search, so first off, relevant search is solution aware. your configuration for relevant search is solution aware. So in this case, if I were developing a solution, I would go through, select the number of entities that I want, bring across what those entities are, package that into my solution for then deployment into my production environment. That's something else I want to underscore. Each one of the features that we're describing now is fully solution aware, which means it participates in the merge model for solutions. Okay? Relevant search has a couple of limitations that you need to be aware of. First off, it has a total number of fields that can be indexed. A field is determined based on the QuickFind UI, what you've identified on a given entity as a searchable field. Okay? In the preview that we have today, as a bit of explanation, in the preview that we have today, we're able to search on all textual, integer, displayable type fields, but not on lookups, okay, or option sets. This version can search on those as well. Okay? And this is something, again, we're bringing to you guys as part of the fall release. So if I look at account and I see 7, there are 7 searchable fields within account. That was defined based on the quick find view for the account, based on what I tagged as searchable and returnable. Okay? I can have up to 1,000 fields. Today, this is a limitation that has been brought upon us or told to us by the search system. The search system is Azure. We're using Azure Search to achieve this. Okay? We do have a version of this that works on-prem, and it uses full text search. So performance-wise, it's not as good. The relevance aspect of it is not as good as what we have in the online world. The online world Azure search engine is astonishingly good at figuring out nears, likes, variations of words, as well as the performance of it. The team has been doing performance testing on it, and honestly, I actually asked if I could say this because I don't own this feature and I didn't want to commit him to something that he didn't think he could achieve. I asked him, is there an upper limit? And he said, we haven't found it. And when we say we haven't found it, we operate Microsoft support out of CRM, and CRM and Microsoft support has this turned on. Okay, so case search, case find, case notes, case history, all of that's actually being searched out of Azure Search through CRM, through this experience. Okay. We also have full security trimming built into the system. So everything, for example, if you aren't allowed to see the row, you're not going to see it. It's not going to come back. The downside, the one caution I'm going to look at you today, we do not provide a public API for this yet. Okay. If you call the quick search APIs, the quick find APIs, or the find APIs in CRM, they're still using CRM's search system. Okay. The intent is, in the future, to allow you to choose whether or not you're using the relevant search engine or the CRM search engine. However, that's not going to make this fall release. That's something that we're looking at for the future. Okay? So with that, I've pretty much wrapped up the content that I have. We have just a minute or two left. I wanted to leave you guys with essentially a set of bullets, if you will. At the end of the day, these are the things that we want to really kind of bring down home. The fact that we are building out, at the end of the day, a model-driven platform. We are open. We're not closed. People sometimes look at us and go, Microsoft's a closed ecosystem. We're not closed. Okay. We haven't been closed since a long, long time. And if anything, we've been making ourselves more and more open. With the advent of OAuth and the ability to integrate and connect to us using OAuth-based authentication schemes, anything that can talk OAuth can talk to us. As we shift focus into the web APIs, anything that can talk web API, REST can talk to us, okay? At the end of the day, it's something that's very, very important. This is a company-wide initiative to be this way, and we're no exception to it. We've wanted to be here for years. We really didn't want to build a Java-specific SDK or a Ruby on Rails basic a specific SDK. We wanted you to be able to consume our SDKs directly. Now, that said, let me take an aside. For the developers in the room, I have said this at multiple conferences, and I was reminded last week that I have not said it loudly enough. I'm going to say it here as well, and that is that you guys need to update to the current SDKs. Okay? Why? We are remodeling our authentication stack under the covers. Okay? Things that our old SDKs rely on are going away. There was an issue last week where several of our very large partners had not or were running on older SDK stacks, and they suffered an issue when that older technology was deactivated briefly. We're still figuring out how it got deactivated, because it shouldn't have been without notice. But it was a very simple matter for us to turn it back on, but it underscores the problem. Anyone who was using a current SDK, version 8 or higher, was unaffected. Okay? Our 8.0 SDKs go all the way back from a support point of view to version 5. You can use the 8.0 SDK to talk to V5 of CRM. Okay? There's no reason not to, unless you're on a .NET limitation. V5 SDKs were 3.5. Everything from 6.0 forward was 4.0. If you're on a 3.5, we do have an answer for that coming. It will come soon. But if you do, be aware. Harass us. Send us mail if we don't respond to you quickly on that. Okay? So with that, I want to wrap it up here. Thank you for your attention, and I hope it was educational. Questions? If we have a couple of minutes for questions, I think, or am I over? No, we're not going to enable arbitrary prefixes.
I guess the other part of the one was, are you actually planning to do anything with Visual Studio?
Yes. Yes. Yep. That's actually Visual Studio RM is a focus of ours. Okay. Other questions? It is coincidental in the fact that it looks like it. We are working directly with Azure Search. That is our UI. That is not SharePoint UI. But I think it's incidental in the fact that the UX teams are shared. So, okay. Other questions? Yes, sir.
Do you think that editable rate control will be extendable to subgrids?
Extendable to subgrids within a form? Yes. In fact, I have it here. I just didn't show it. But yes, it does work in a form. Other questions? Yes, ma'am. Real-time logic apps, how far away are they as far as our ability to push to them? Probably the spring. Probably maybe sooner. It's something we can do in the back office. So as soon as the tech is ready to go, it'll be pushed out. It'll just start working. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Right, right.
But is there a plan on the roadmap
of CRM to have an option to use folders or metadata? I'm not the right person to ask that question. The fellow you need to talk to is a fellow by the name of Madan Netu. He is here.
Okay.
He is doing a talk on office productivity, but he is the guy that owns that and could talk authoritatively to it. Okay? Yes, ma'am. So the tool set in CRM 2016 is sensitive to the version of CRM you're connected to. So if you're on CRM 2015, so version, you're on which? You're on 2016. So 8.0, if you connect the plugin registration tool to, will show you the old ACS way to do it. Okay? If you connect it to a 8.1 deployment, it will switch you and walk the SaaS path. We are supporting the ACS way as an upgrade vehicle only, but we need to get you moved off that. Okay? That is the underlying piece of technology that is being shut down. ACS, the authentication engine, is being removed by AAD. So. Okay? Other questions? Yes, sir. Any concrete direction with Skype for Business? Get in the preview program. Okay? Can't talk about it right now. CRM UG, I think, is when they're going to talk about that. but get in the preview program, look at the airlifts. If you're, are you in the preview program? Get in the preview program, look at the airlifts. Okay? All right.
So for the pre-packaged solution option you're talking about, like turning on the CRM with solutions already built in.
Yes. Eventually. Eventually. So that the vehicle for deployment there will be AppSource. You'll see us start with this in the fall, and then you'll see the AppSource extension to that show up not as part of templating, but as part of pass-through for trial creation first, and then we're making an assessment on templating. Okay, but the features, the underlying technology stack is there to let us do it. It's just resources. We have to decide, do we want to, I'm going to say it this way, I don't mean it rudely, are you generating enough traffic that it warrants us allocating the resources to have templates or stage databases ready to go for you? Okay, and that's really what it boils down to. Okay?
You talked about update versus upgrade.
On-prem versus online? I'm sorry, okay. So solutions have the ability to upgrade as of version 8.1 or 8.0, okay? That's a great question. Redeploying a managed solution, if you just deploy a managed solution, merges with what's there. So if you have an entity that starts with, say, two fields, and you add a third and remove one. So you really want to end up with an entity with two fields. When you merge, you deploy your first solution, you end up with two fields. You deploy your second solution, you now got three. Okay? An upgrade would leave you with two. Okay? Make sense? Now, the upgrade also has a upgrade step as part of it. Package Deployer supports it as a piece of code, or you can do it through the UI as a pause and run whatever scripts you need to do with both fields present to do your data migration. Okay, so you have that ability to do some sort of migration step if you need to.
Okay.